You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
The main character in our text on this morning is a man by the name of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, first of all, had a secular job, and his job was to be the cupbearer for the king. He was the king's cupbearer. And so when the king wanted certain things to drink and other things, it was Nehemiah's responsibility to bring him, whether it be a cup or something else, that the king desired. But more so than being a cupbearer, that we need to remember is that Nehemiah was a servant of the Lord. When you read Nehemiah chapter number 1, Nehemiah talks about how he worships God, he prays to God, and when you read his writings, you will learn that this man had knowledge and understanding. It's not one of my main points, but when you consider Nehemiah's life thus far as being a young person or a young adult, we need to be true worshipers of God, and we need to be working young folk. I said we need to be true worshipers of God. Why, Pastor? Because God is looking for those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for young people that will devote their mind, devote their conversation, and devote their actions to him. But we should not only be true worshipers. Again, we need to have a job. We need to be working young men and young women while we're here on this earth. Why, Pastor? Because if a man or woman don't work, he ain't gonna eat. Yeah, we don't need to be lazy, young folk. We either need to work for ourselves or have gainfully legal employment. Am I right about it? And so two powerful traits thus far about Nehemiah as we introduce the text. Now, when you read Nehemiah, I want you to remember that his life story is so inspiring, in my opinion. Nehemiah provides so many nuggets and lessons that we can grasp and apply to our life, such as hard work, determination, as well as the restoration of God. On this morning, we have one verse that I'm going to deal with in Nehemiah 6 and 3. And through prayer and study, the Lord has given me three primary values or points that we're going to learn about concerning the life of Nehemiah. Again, we're going to look at three values that Nehemiah possessed. And I want you to keep in mind that the scripture teaches that the word of God, especially the Old Testament stories, are written for our learning. We're going to be learning about Nehemiah, but the values we see in his life, we should apply to our life. How many are still with me on this morning? All right, so three values of Nehemiah. Value number one that Nehemiah possessed, that we likewise should possess, is that Nehemiah represented the meaning of his name. Nehemiah repre represented the meaning of his name. When we talk about someone representing the meaning of their name, we're saying in a sense that they demonstrated what their name meant. They walked in the meaning of their name. And we know in scripture, names are very important because they carry some revelation about what God expects a person to do, as well as sometimes a name is a memorial to a special event that happened in a person's life. So we have to get an understanding of what Nehemiah's name means. And it's very important for young people and young adults in our day and time. Nehemiah's name means the Lord comforts. The Lord comforts. One particular meaning of comfort, though it carries a number of meanings, the primary meaning this morning that I want us to remember when it comes to the Lord or Jehovah comforting is that simply it means that God restores. Nehemiah's name, Jehovah or the Lord comforts, is a reminder of the restoration power of God. And see, when it comes to being young and righteous, like many of us this morning, and you're striving to live right according to the word of God, you've got to remember that the God that you serve, he will comfort or restore you. When God restores, number one, it means that he causes us to recover. Sometimes in this life, you go through battles. You go through afflictions. And it can just deal with your mind. It will deal with your body. And sometimes it will affect your soul. But it's so wonderful to know that no matter what we go through, God will give us some recovery. Sometime in this life, young folk, you'll take some bumps and some bruises. Sometimes you fall, you mess up, and you injure yourself. But it's so wonderful to know that God will comfort you in the midst of it all. It's no need to give up. It's no need to get on that dumb stuff. You just got to remember that the Lord can restore me. But then secondly, to comfort means, or restore, it means to refresh. Sometimes in life, young folk, you get drained. Sometimes you experience stress. You have to deal with the pressures and cares of life. But it's nothing like knowing you have a God that can send you his spirit and refresh you. He can send you a word. He don't even have to touch you. He can just give you a word and you be in his presence. And it just refresh your mind. It just calls you to have some peace. And you realize everything is going to be all right. He going to cause everything to work out together for my good. And I'm telling you, sometime in life, young folk, you will go through pressure. Folk may not be able to understand fully what you're dealing with, but God will comfort you in the midst of what you're going through. He will refresh you. He will revive you. He'll give you the strength to keep moving on. Anybody know about the pain that comes in life? Sometimes you get disappointed, young folk, but God will cause you to recover or be refreshed. And finally, when God restores us, he gives us some relief. Sometimes in life, you just need some relief from what you're going through. Sometimes you just need God to help you in the midst of your trouble. And how many know our God is a very present help in the time of trouble? He will leave us in the fire. He will allow us to go through prison and valley experiences. But in the midst of it all, young folk, God will give you some relief. He'll give you some moments in life to where he'll remind you that, look, I know it's rough, but I won't put no more on you than you can bear. And that gives me some relief in my mind. Because sometimes, again, young people, life brings pain. And you pray, God, take the pain away. He don't take the pain away. He don't take the pressure away. But he will comfort us in the midst of what we go through. It hurts sometimes. It's painful sometimes. But that is a part of bearing that cross. But it's good to know in the midst of me carrying my cross and denying myself, he will comfort me. He will recover me, refresh me, and give me some relief. And Nehemiah knew that about his God. And we need to know that about our God. Tell somebody, you need to know that God will comfort you. Yeah. Look at what he says. Y'all go to Nehemiah 1 and 10. Nehemiah 1 and 10. In his prayer to the Lord, look at the language that he uses. Now, these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and your strong hand. He knew that God would redeem or restore his people. And see, when you're going through things, you need to know that God will redeem or restore you. He lived up to his name. He represented his name. But it just wasn't Nehemiah. Y'all still with me? David knew that the Lord was his shepherd. And he said, you know what I done learned? He will restore my soul. He'll comfort me in the midst of what I'm going through. Understand, young people, pain, pressure, and problems is a part of life. God will allow you to go through it. He'll command you to go through it, and it hurts, but he will comfort you in the midst of what you're going through. Job was hurting so bad in his body. He authored and wrote at one time, he said, look, I'm going through all of this, but I know that my Redeemer, I know he lives. I know he can restore me. I know he's going to refresh me. I know he's going to relieve me. And I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all can't fool me. You can sit there and act like you don't go through stuff, but I know you go through things. I'm talking about folk in the church. Y'all look at Luke 6. And let me give another scripture to support my statement. Luke 6 and 6 and 10. Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue or the church. Talking about Jesus. He entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. In the church, in the synagogue, and there was a man who was there who had a withered right hand. The right hand represents our power. The right hand represents our ability. This man had a withered hand in a church where teaching or anointed teaching was coming forward. Are y'all with me? And look at verse 10. And when Jesus looked around at all of them, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored as whole as the other. What do I want us to see here? You can be in God's church withered. You can be in God's church dry. You can be in God's church not functioning the way that you should. But Jesus is our Redeemer. Jesus is the one that can restore us. And here in the text, it reveals a secret. How does he do it? He gives us a word. All he told the man was, look, stretch out your hand. That was his rhema word. He put the word into action, and his right hand was restored to whole just like his other. So if God is going to restore and comfort us, young people, we got to make sure we just receive the word. Even though the word may challenge us, receive the word so he can restore you. Receive the word so you can think, talk, and act the way God desires you to act. How many understand? He represented his name, and Nehemiah's name means the Lord will comfort. And if there's anybody that can comfort or restore us, it's Jesus. Would you agree? So what was the first value? He represented his name. And likewise, we need to represent the name God has put on us. He has given us the name trendsetter. And so we need to represent our name. Whether we in school, on a team, at work, wherever we go, in a relationship, single, online, don't forget who you are. Represent the name that the Lord has placed upon you. Nehemiah 2 and verse 17, we will find value number 2. Are y'all with me? Value number 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. Value number 2 that Nehemiah had that we need to have is that Nehemiah had resolve. Nehemiah was a man of resolve. What does it mean to be a person of resolve? It means that you are a person that is determined to solve or fix a problem. Nehemiah was a man of, help me, resolve. He was the type of person that was determined to fix a problem. And see, young people, that's the type of people we need to be. When it comes to the problems that you have in your life, don't be passive, be assertive. Fix the problem. Nehemiah at the time was concerned about the people of God because many had been taken captive. And he asked his friend, well, what's the state of those who are no longer in captivity or that have been taken by enemies? And his friends told him, look, basically, God's people in a mess. They're in great distress and they're living in shame. And so when Nehemiah heard about the state of God's people and he saw it, he said, man, I got to fix this. I can't let God's people stay in that same situation. I've got to solve this problem. He had resolve. But see, this generation a lot of times will see problems in their life and just think they're going to automatically fix themselves. No, when problems arise in your life, young people, you got to fix them. You got to do your part and then let God do his part. When God shows you that you got an attitude problem, don't be talking about that's just me. Fix it. Fix that problem. When God shows you that, look, you lazy in this area, don't just keep being lazy. What should you do? Fix it. Don't wait on God to come down because he ain't going to come down. And you got to fix it. You have to work it out. Look at somebody say, you work it out. Yeah, God ain't going to do everything. You got to have some resolve. If you messy and nasty, quit waiting on folk to pick up after you. You fix it. You solve the problem. You failing in a class, you study. You fix it. Look at somebody say, you fix it. Yeah, there's just certain things you got to have some personal resolve. And what I love about the text, it's an illustration in one sense of how we operate in God's house. When God's shepherd or leaders see that God's people are not in the place that they should be. When you love folk, you try to help them. You try to help them. Man, I see these folk ain't praising God. I got to give them some teaching and some preaching. We got to fix this problem. We don't need to be embarrassed like this. We need to say something and do something. See, if I don't say nothing, that's proof I really don't love you. But see, when a leader or a parent loves you, they're going to correct you. They're going to try to fix the problem. Look at somebody say, whatever your problems, say, do your part. That's right. If you bad with money, you got to get in there and you got to fix that problem. You got to work on how to handle money. When you get married, you best believe you're going to have some problems. But you can't sit back and let your spouse try to handle all the problems. You got to get in there and fix the problem. And this is what's amazing when you talk about young couples. Sometimes we try to just sit back and think, we'll grow out of that. No, some stuff you need to address. You got to get in there and get your hands dirty. Yeah, look at somebody say, you got to get your hands dirty. In this life, you got to fix your problems or have some resolve. Now, I'm not saying we can fix everything because there's some problems, they're just bigger than us, right? That's when we cast our cares on him. But how many got the understanding God ain't going to do everything? It's certain adjustments we have to make. He had resolve. He had resolve. He saw a problem and he wanted to do something to solve the problem. Now, I need to make a point since I'm over here in Nehemiah 2. It's such a good point because when I read it, I saw myself in the text and I want to help somebody. I came to help somebody. Anybody in here want some help? Let me tell you, one area you've got to have resolve in as a young man or a young woman is found in Nehemiah 2 and verse 7. Y'all look at these two verses, and let's look at how he went about solving this problem. So remember, Nehemiah said, all right, I got to go and build this wall. This is going to help the people of God get back to worshiping and get back in the place they need to be. And that was his mindset. Y'all with me? All right, notice Nehemiah 2, 7 and 8, and let's look closely. So Nehemiah done got up from prayer, and notice, furthermore, verse 7, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let what? Letters. Let what? Letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah. So he said, look, I got to go to Judah, but in order for me to go through, I got to get some letters to give me permission. Y'all still with me? Verse 8. Then he said, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple. I need some wood. In order to build the church or the temple, I need some what? Some wood. But in order to get the wood, he said, I need somebody to write a what? A letter. Let's pick it up. For the city wall and for the house that I will occupy. Lord, he finna do some building. He finna build the temple, the city wall, and a house. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. What is it, Pastor, want us to see? You see the legwork Nehemiah had to do? The primary type of legwork that he had to do that many young people got to get accustomed to is doing paperwork. Paperwork. As you grow, if you're going off to school, you're going to start working a career. You're going to apply for scholarships. You got to learn how to do the required paperwork. I remember when I was growing up, there's one thing I didn't want to do. When it was time for me to go to school, I did not realize how much paperwork was required, how many applications I had to pay for, and I had to submit. But that was just part of me doing what needed to be done in order to reach my goals. When I got out on my own, you got to fill out paperwork to get your own house. You got to fill out paperwork to get your own car. You got to fill out paperwork to get an apartment. When it comes to your credit, you got to know how to deal with paperwork. When it comes to bills, you got to know how to deal with paperwork. Look at somebody and say, paperwork is part of the process. Now look at the paperwork you have to deal with now in school. If you can't even keep up with your homework, you can't even keep up with your classwork. What is that saying about you? Because paperwork is a part of life. And here in the text, in order for him to get grants, in order for him to get materials, he had to fill out paperwork. Young people, you talking about you want a scholarship? Don't you know every athlete, you got to do certain paperwork with the NCAA, with certain schools, and it's overwhelming. I mean, it's a lot. When it comes to standardized testing, you got to deal with that paperwork. When you get a car, when you even take your car to get fixed, you got to keep up, or you should keep up, with the paperwork. Part of solving problems in this country is learning how to be on top of your business and handle paperwork. When you get in school, you're responsible for this stuff. You're responsible. Well, I just put it in the cloud. Well, I'm going to tell you, you better get you a printer. Because it may come a time where you need some paperwork. Part of solving problems, young people, is doing that legwork. And mama ain't going to always be able to do paperwork for you. You need to do it for yourself. I know I'm telling the truth. Let's give God a hand clap right there. Lord have mercy. So he represented his name. Nehemiah had resolve. But what I really want to deal with is found in our main verse of Nehemiah 6 and 3. Nehemiah's enemies at the time of verse 2 had heard about the work that he was doing. And the scripture teaches that they tried to hinder and harm him by sending evil reports to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah responded in verse 3 in a number of ways. But the primary thing Nehemiah did is that when it came to his enemies, he resisted arrest. He did not allow his opponents, his ops, his enemies, to stop him from moving forward. He didn't allow his enemies, and here in the verse, he had two enemies, Sanballat and Geshem, two enemies that tried to stop his progress, stop him from moving forward, stop him from being productive. And because there's nothing new under the sun, you got two primary enemies. Yes, you do. I said you got two primary enemies. The devil and his demons and your flesh. Them your two primary enemies. Now, our adversary, the devil, he walks around like a roaring lion. He walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. So we have to deal with demons from time to time, and we got to make sure we don't give them no place. Because how many know if demons come in, they coming in to steal, kill, and destroy. But your other enemy is the one in the mirror. The other enemy is with you 24/7. Yeah, you are your biggest enemy. And how many know your own self sometimes can keep you from moving forward. I said your own flesh, your own nature can try to stop you from being productive. The Bible tells me that the flesh and the spirit, young people, they are contrary one to the other. My spirit, or God's spirit, wants me to do one thing, but my flesh wants me to do the total opposite. And that flesh again is with me all the time. Whether I'm wide awake or whether I'm asleep, that flesh is with me. When I'm in the church or outside the church, guess who with me? That flesh, that human nature. And you got to deal with them enemies, young folk. I said, you got to deal with them enemies. That's just a part of life. But you don't need to allow your enemies to arrest you. You don't need to allow your enemies to stop you from doing what God, or living how God wants you to live. And I'm telling you, it's going to be an everyday fight, especially with that flesh. Every single day, it's going to be a battle with that flesh. But thanks be unto God, we already got the victory. It get rough sometime. It get tough sometime. But we got the power of the Holy Ghost to put this flesh under subjection. Them two enemies, he resisted arrest. I'm telling you, man, that flesh and demons and other enemies will fight you. They will buck against you. Just because you young and cute and saved, that does not exempt you. You gonna have to, and you are enlisted in this battle. Sooner or later, you gonna wrestle with this flesh. Sooner or later, you gonna wrestle with a demon or two. And so we need to resist arrest. Look at somebody say, we got to resist arrest. Yes, we got to resist arrest, especially against these two primary enemies that we will face often in life. The flesh and demons. And so how did Nehemiah resist arrest? In my clothes, he reveals in Nehemiah 6:3 how he resisted arrest from his enemies. And if you're going to maintain the victory, you need to pay attention. You need to see yourself in Nehemiah 6:3. You need to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Number one, y'all with me? First lady with me, let me try again. Y'all with me? Number one, how did he resist arrest, Pastor? He recognized his progress. He recognized his progress. In other words, Nehemiah was a man that knew how to motivate himself. And I'm going to tell you something. In ministry, marriage, with your money, and other areas, even in your mind, you're going to have to master self-motivation. You're going to have to learn how to validate yourself. You're going to have to be able to look at the progress that you have made in life and tell yourself, you know what? I'm doing a great work. Because in ministry, in life, in your scholastic career or school career, everybody is not going to always pat you on the back. Everybody is not going to tell you how wonderful you are, how much of a difference you're making. People are not going to always tell you how awesome your clothes are. People are not going to tell you all the time how much an impact you made when you ministered to them. People are not going to always tell you things to encourage you. And so you have got to know how to motivate yourself. You don't need to wait for compliments. You need to know how to compliment yourself. You need to be able to look at the progress that God has graced you to fulfill and pat yourself on the back. And I'm telling you, young folk, because if you don't master this, you can enter into a place of discouragement. You can enter into a place of depression, but you've got to be able to look at the steps that God has helped you to make and congratulate yourself. Woo, the world is full of hate, but look at somebody and say, don't hate. Just congratulate. Yeah, don't hate on yourself because you're not doing as much as somebody else. You need to appreciate what God is doing in your life. You need to be able to thank God for what he's doing for you, to you, and through you, even if it ain't like it is in somebody else's life. You wish you had more of this, but you don't at this time. But motivate yourself for what God has given you right now. You got to know how to say, I'm doing a good job. I may not have all of what everybody else have. I may not have the notoriety. I may not have the popularity. I may not have this. I may not have that, but I'm doing a great job. I'm doing a good job right where I am, and I'm going to pat myself on the back. I'm not going to be intimidated by what I see on Instagram, at work, at school. I'm going to thank God for what he's doing in my life. You may not be driving what somebody else have, but at least you driving, least you riding, least you pay for your own gas. You may not have your heart's desires yet, but you got to thank God for what you do have, because God is moving in your life. God is using you. God is blessing you. And can't nobody support you like you. Look at somebody and say, you got to motivate yourself. Get your eyes off Instagram. Get on off TikTok. Get in the mirror and look at what God is doing for you. You may not have 6 digits, but thank God for the 4 digits you got. I may not have 6, but thank God for the 4. I may not have reached 100,000 yet, but thank God I got 5 digits. Thank God I'm making $12,000. I'm doing better than the average household in the United States. You got to know how to motivate yourself. You got to learn how to do that. Because I'm telling you, in life, young folk, everybody ain't got the time to validate you. And you don't need to get depressed or discouraged because you're feeling overlooked. Take a step back. Just take a step back. Man, God is doing some great things over here. It may not be like what's going on over there, but I got it going on right here. I got it going on. And you know what we say at the MSW? We ain't trying to compete with nobody. We ain't competing. We just compliment. Look at somebody say, don't compete. Just compliment. And the main person you need to be complimenting is yourself. Now, who going to be real with me on this morning? Who need to do better just at self-motivating yourself? Come on, be honest. He wouldn't have gave it to me if it wasn't the house. Man, I wish I had such and such shoes. I wish I had such and such clothes. Well, you don't have it yet. Clean them ones up you got and learn how to coordinate. Look at somebody say, you got to coordinate. You know what I learned? It ain't about the amount you spend on it. It's about how you coordinate it. It's about how you put it together. Put it together. And make yourself look good and feel good. And that's what Nehemiah did. He said, man, I'm doing a good job over here with these folk. I'm doing a great work. I may not have that A, But at least I ain't failing. Lord, I ain't failing. But I'm on my way to A land. I may be in C land right now, but I'm on my way to A land. Lisa ain't in F land. Y'all ever been to F land? I done been to F land. You need to be happy and motivate yourself. That's what Nehemiah did. Don't be so thirsty, young people. Young ladies, don't be so thirsty for attention. So thirsty for attention. Well, the first young player come your way and just give you so much adoration and compliments, your nose just wide open. You ain't got to be stuck up a high booty, as we say, but you need to know that you got it. You got it going on. And that needs to be a part of your mindset. We don't need to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, but we do need to think highly of ourselves. Number two, somebody like this kind of teaching. Somebody do in here. I'm telling you. The second way he resisted arrest was that Nehemiah recognized the job wasn't finished, but he kept moving forward. Yeah. The text in the chapter says, look, the wall wasn't complete. Not at the time, but they had made progress. And it goes on to say the gates weren't even complete, but they had made progress. And they were moving forward. And he told his two enemies through the messengers, look, I cannot come down. Why should I stop? I'm making progress. I cannot come down and fool with y'all. Why should the work stop? Young people, no matter what you go through, even though you may not be where you want to be or where you desire to be, recognize the progress you've made and keep moving forward. Man, I've been trying to get my prayer life together, but it just ain't where it need to be. But can you honestly look at it and say, well, Lord, I am praying better and more than what I used to. Look at your progress and keep moving. Man, I really wish I could stand with that 30 or more. Man, I really want to be a person that just gives abundantly. Well, look at the progress. You used to give change. Now you at that $5 and $10. Just keep moving forward. Look at your progress. Don't stop. Keep moving forward. Because I'm going to tell you, your mind will talk to you. And sometimes it will tell you, look, you're doing all of this, and you still ain't got to where you want to be. You've been in this thing all these years, all these decades, and such still ain't happened. When that mind get to talking to you like that, you got to remember Nehemiah. Yeah, I may not be there, but I'm on my way. Have you ever been on a journey to go to a certain place or to meet a particular person? And they was like, where you at? Where you at? And you said, look, I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. You was going through traffic and something was slowing you down. And how many know in this life, things will try to hinder you? But the key is don't stop. Young folk got to keep moving. Keep moving forward. You messed up. Go ahead and repent. Learn from how and why you messed up, but keep moving. Keep moving forward. You can beat yourself down to the point to where you kill your fire. You can condemn yourself. Man, I can't never get it right. As long as you got a willing mind, the Bible says, God can still work with you. So even though when you mess up or fall short, you got to say, man, I didn't intend to do that. Or sometimes you say, I did that on purpose. But you learn from it. Why did you do that? Repent and keep moving forward. Solomon said, the righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets right back up. And so what we have to do is we don't need to let folk or ourselves or demons discourage us. No, we keep moving forward. Man, look at the progress you done made. You are not who you used to be. Even though you're not complete yet, you keep moving forward. And I'm going to tell you something. As a parent, for those that are listening, you got to understand our young people aren't complete yet. You know what I had to learn about being a pastor? You got to let God develop folk. Now, if a person proves to you that they want to quit, that's on you. But as a pastor, I have to be able to see, well, they're making progress. I thought they would be at a different place by now, but they're not. They haven't attained. That's okay, as long as they keep moving forward. If you got to drag your leg, that's fine, as long as you drag that leg and come on. Just keep moving. Just keep moving forward. I see Vanika sometimes going through different things, and sometimes she's walking faster on days than others, but you know what? She still be moving. She still be moving forward. And see, that's how we got to be. As parents, as a pastor, you got to let folk develop. We try to motivate you, but you, on the individual basis, you got to recognize, I got to keep moving forward. And I'm going to tell y'all something, man, I've been going through, or I went through some things over these past few months. And I was just honest. I said, Lord, you know what? Some of the things you allowed me to go through, I handled faithfully. But some of these things, I got to do better. I didn't handle the way I should. But I can say, Lord, I'm still here. I can say, Lord, I didn't give up. I can say, Lord, I kept coming to church. I kept receiving the word. It was rough. It was tough. It's some areas that need improvement, but I kept moving forward. And that's how we have to be. Can I get a loud amen? I know I'm right. Keep moving forward. And finally, Nehemiah resisted arrest by having or demonstrating that his mind was made up. His mind was made up. He told Sanballat and Geshem, I can't leave. I can't leave. I'm loyal to this project. I'm loyal to the people of God. I can't leave. Somebody say, I can't leave. That sounds like a man that had a made up mind. And I'm telling you, young people, life gets challenging. That cross you bear gets heavy sometimes. That cup we have to drink from, man, I'm telling you, it gets bitter sometimes. But you got to have a made-up mind. You got to tell your flesh. You got to tell other enemies, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to hang on in there. I'm going to tough it out. I may take some licks, but I'm going to keep on ticking. I ain't giving up. I'm not going to cast away my confidence. I know it has great reward. You got to have a made up mind. You have to have a, help me out, say a made up. A made up mind. I'm going to resist the rest. I'm not going to let you take me down. I'm not going to let this be my testimony. I'm not going to let this be the last of Baker. No, no, I got a made up mind that I am going to see this through. I'm resisting arrest. I'm not going to allow my enemies to defeat me. Sometimes they may get the upper hand. Yeah, sometimes you get in a fight and you get beat. Damn. But that don't mean it's over. Woo, y'all don't like that. It's just the truth. Sometimes you get whooped in a fight. But we don't stop fighting. We don't stop swinging, do we? At least I don't. Yeah. When I look in scripture, Israel got beat down a number of times by their enemies. But thanks be unto God, he gave them the victory in the end. And how do we have the victory, young folk? It's through our faith. We take what we learned about Nehemiah, we put it into action, and we resist arrest. How many learn from the lesson and you receive it? I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for the lesson. I wish y'all would take that a little bit higher. Tell somebody, say, when it comes to your enemies, tell them what they got to do. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Life is full of challenges, but life don't stop. Life is also full of enemies, two in particular, our flesh and demons. And they'll try to stop or hinder, Lord, the work that you're doing in our life. But it's so good to know we can resist our enemies. We can resist the arrest that our enemies are trying to hold us in. Help us to be mindful to self-motivate ourselves, keep moving forward, and have a made-up mind. And if we do this, Lord, we'll mature, we'll grow, and see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so we just say thank you. Thank you for Nehemiah being a comfort to us on this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone that agrees, say amen and amen. Young people, young adults, no matter what you go through, keep moving forward. No matter how discouraged you get sometimes in life, keep moving forward. Motivate yourself. Encourage yourself in the Lord and keep moving forward. Have a made-up mind. No matter what I go through, I'm not going to quit. You hear me? Let's give God a hand clap of praise for the prayer.